Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Exodus 3, just the first 12 verses. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land and a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Amen. If we begin from there tonight, why will God bring us out of Egypt? Why will God bring us out of oppression? Why will God change our story from unending labor to unlimited favor? Why? So that we may do what? We may worship him. So that we may serve him. But that's not our concentration. That's not our focus tonight. And thank God for the background that we already had when Reverend Babalola was leading us in a prayer. You know, we read chapter 2 from verses 23 to 25 to the end. The father, the children of Israel cried out to God, and God heard their cry. He heard their groaning. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. But verses 1 to 6 of chapter 3 that we have just read now tells us about the fact that God was actually deliberate. God was intentional about what he was about to do in the lives of his people. And because he heard their cry, he heard their groaning, and because he acknowledged that he was going to help them, then God had to do something. God had to raise Moses. So God was deliberate in asking Moses, bringing Moses into an encounter with him, that he would be able to actualize his mission and purpose for his people. So God raised Moses. God used an experience to call Moses' attention to himself. God did something that will make it catchy for him. God organized an event. God organized a meeting whereby he met with Moses. And then he could give him the mandate to be able to go and deliver his people. The same way God tonight, God has arranged so many events for us this year. One of the events that God has arranged for us this year is Night of Supernatural Help. God has given us the vision that this year is our year of supernatural help. That he is going to come to our rescue. God spoke to us through our pastor and gave us, led us into this direction. And so tonight is one of the events that God has organized to change our story. Tonight is one of the events, one of the nights that God has organized to shift our level, that we may go to the next level. That's why we are considering the topic from unending labor to unlimited favor. Permit me to say in advance and prophesy into somebody's life. Tonight, God will move you from unending labor to unlimited favor in the mighty name of Jesus. But I want us to briefly look at the concept of labor so that we can know what we are really talking about. The concept of labor. I looked out for the meaning of the word labor again in the dictionary. Particularly when that word is used as a verb, labor. To labor means to work hard, to make great efforts. To work hard and to make what? Great efforts. According to the dictionary, that means that word labor is not a bad phenomenon. It's not a bad idea for somebody to labor. Hello, do you agree with me? Is it bad for somebody to work hard? Is it bad for somebody to labor? According to the dictionary meaning, there's nothing wrong with that. It is good to labor. And biblically speaking, the word labor is also recommended. Can we read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23? Proverbs 14:23. NIV says, all hard work brings what? A profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. You know, some people, what they are interested in is just mere talk. They don't want to labor. They don't want to do anything. But they like to talk. I'm not talking about those who are talking to make money. You know, some people talk to make money. But useless talk. Talk that will not earn you anything. I wish they can channel that talk to make money. But Bible says all hard work brings a profit, but mere talks lead to poverty. That means if you really work hard, you are supposed to bring, profit is supposed to come to you. You are supposed to make profit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28 says, let him who stole do what? Steal no longer, but rather let him do what? Let him labor. I'm reading, I think it's in New King James Version. Please give us New King James. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Can you hear that? Even while God is encouraging someone to work, it's not just for you to take care of yourself and take care of your need, but to give to other people that are in need. Let him who stole steal no longer. It is not good to steal. But God wants you to labor. God wants us to labor. God wants us to work hard. So that when we are looking at the concept of labor as working hard. And that's why when I see some people that they have eyes, they have hands, they can do everything, but they continue to beg every day of their lives. I say, no, you can work. You can work. You are not supposed to be a perpetual beggar. God has created you to work. And God has created us to work. In the Decalogue, Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, labor is commanded. The Ten Commandments. Verse 9, what does it say? New King James Version. 6 days you shall do what? You shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you will have to labor. You have to work hard and do all your work. Hello? Humanly speaking, anyone that will not want to be a mediocre in life, you have to work hard. Anyone that will not just want to be an average person in life, in anything you do in life, you must work hard. Oh, we shouldn't say, God will take care of me. I'm not going to do anything. I will just wake up in the morning because God will provide. God will tell you, you are lazy. You are supposed to work. Any endeavor in life, if you are not going to be a mediocre, tell me any profession in life. If you really want to make it in life, you need to work hard. You want to be an engineer, you need to work hard. You want to be a carpenter, you need to work hard. In fact, you want to be a successful pastor, you need to work hard. I'm sure my people here who have gone through the seminary, you know that seminary is not for lazy people. You need to work hard. You need to study hard. So, to labor is not a sin. It means hard work is not an indication of lack of faith. It only means you are behaving like your father. Because what God wants to deliver us from is not actually labor, but unending labor. Can somebody say unending labor? Every labor according to God's plan must have an expiry date. Every labor must have an expiry date. If you are laboring about something, there must be a particular time you say, okay, this project has come to a particular end, has come to a close, has come to a full stop, and then you move on to the next one. So God is not encouraging us to be lazy, but to be hardworking. But at the same time, God is not saying that once you labor, you continue to labor and labor and labor and labor and labor all the days of your life. People labor and work, they retire, and they still want to be working like the way they were working in active service. Why? Because something is not going on well. So they have to begin to do all kinds of things to work. For every labor, according to God's plan, there must be an expiry date. When a pregnant woman carries the baby in her womb, normally for about 9 months, there comes a time that she goes to the labor room. And when she gets to the labor room and you hear, what does that mean? It's an announcement that labor has come to an end. And I prophesy concerning somebody here today, your labor will come to an end. That thing you have been laboring on, that thing you have been working on, working hard on for so many years, and it has not changed, it will come to a good end in Jesus' name. There are people here who have been in labor room for a long time. This season, your labor shall come to a good end in Jesus' name. The children of Israel that we have read, I'm sure we are familiar with this story, with this event. They labored to serve their tax masters for many years, for over 400 years. And they never knew when the labor was going to end. It was in the same labor that they gave birth to children, they gave birth to grandchildren, and other children came, and they kept expanding and expanding under the same captivity, under the same tax master. So there was a scenario of an unending labor. It was there for many years, and they continued to labor and labor. May the Lord deliver us from unending labor. In the mighty name of Jesus. What are signs of unending labor? For someone to know that this labor is not coming to an end. Number one, looking from the story of the children of Israel, and because of our time, I'm just going to pick some passages. Walking, number one sign is walking or living under deliberate attack. Walking or living under deliberate attack. A situation whereby, for no reason, some people don't just want to see your face at your place of work. For no reason, people don't want to see your face in your neighborhood. Once you arrive like this, they are afraid. They are insecure. They want to get rid of you. And it happens to Christians. It happens to the children of God. In chapter 1 of Exodus, from verse 3, I will not read everything from verse 3 because of our time. But look at from verse 8. saying, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Can you hear that? They were already afraid of the children of Israel. They are mightier than we. Come, let us do what? Deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. People just are insecure because you are around and they want to afflict you. And you are under the power or the influence of the affliction. And you are struggling under it. You are struggling to come out after it. Even though you have very good degree, you have good certificate, you have good qualifications, but you are under the attack, deliberate attack of the enemy, and you are not coming out. You are not making a headway. It's a sign of unending labor. So verse 13 said, so the Egyptian made the children of Israel serve with what? With rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Can I prophesy over somebody here? Those who are making your life bitter, God will take care of them in the name of Jesus. Those who are making life to be so bitter for you and your husband, they don't want you to be happy. God will take care of them on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Number two sign of somebody under working, operating under unending labor. Working hard, but with little or nothing of your own to show for it. You are working so hard, but there's little or nothing of your own that you can claim to show for it. You've been working under somebody, or you have been working for somebody, or you have been working for yourself, you have been working for so many, but there is little or nothing you can show for it under hard labor. Imagine working in the morning, working in the afternoon, working in the evening, working in the night, working on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even every day of the week, and there is little or nothing to show for it. They were under the tax master. They were working like elephants, but eating like an ant. In chapter 5 of the book of Exodus, in fact, it will surprise you that the more Moses and Aaron, the more they pleaded with Pharaoh for the people of God to live, the more they increased. Pharaoh increased their affliction. In verse 7 of chapter 5, he said, you shall no longer give them straw to make brick. He got to the point where he said, okay, we are even supplying straw to them to make bricks. But because of this thing we are hearing, we have changed our mind. We will no longer give them straw. They will go and get the straw by themselves and they will make brick. But they will still have to maintain the same quota they have to do every day. So these people are laboring for other people. May you not labor for other people. They labor with little or nothing to show for it. Number three sign of unending labor. Living under circles of affliction. You are living under circles of affliction. By the way, if I can step back a little bit. Do you know that even when the children of Israel, when they got to the promised land, God had to enshrine rest into the divine constitution for them to be able to rest? Do you know that? They were already used to working without rest. God had to put it in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath. It was already in their psyche. It was already in their mind. Well, even when they got to the promised land, they were still walking and walking. God had to put it there. Hey, you need to rest. You need to slow down. Maybe there's somebody here, you have no rest. God will give you rest. I say, God will give you rest. Rest from that labor in the name of Jesus. There were people living under circles of affliction. Before God's intervention in the lives of God's people in Egypt, a newly born Israelite was not permitted to live his own life, but the life of his parents. Because the son of a slave automatically becomes what? He becomes a slave. If you are born, your parents are slaves. Do you have any other choice? So they were under this circle of affliction. They were giving birth to children in slavery. They were giving birth to children under oppression. The spiritual implication of this is that there are people who they just, because of the virtue that they come from a biological family, they inherit some things that go on already in the family. And that's why tonight, I want to declare concerning someone, you will not live the life of affliction that your parents lives in Jesus' name. I say you will not live the life of affliction that your parents lived in the name of Jesus. I say, what killed other people in your family will not kill you. What destroyed other people in your family will not destroy you. In the mighty name of Jesus. They had no choice. They were under the oppression of the enemy. But tonight, if anyone is under the oppression of the enemy, tonight is a night of deliverance. Lastly, the sign of unending labor. Walking and living under fear. Walking and living under fear. Can you imagine when they ask them, okay, go and fetch water. You go fetch water. And somehow you are tired. And you sit down. And you hear an Egyptian coming. What do you think will happen? So that they won't punish me or they will not sack me. Jump up. And by the time you are done with this one, you are done with fetching water. Okay, go and sweep this place. Go. Go and do this. Go. And they will be afraid because they don't know the next thing that will happen to them. Living or walking under fear. They didn't have breakthrough. What they were having was breakdown. They were breaking down every day. And if there is someone here tonight, you are breaking down every day. You are living under fear. The Lord God Almighty will deliver you in the name of Jesus. There are people walking under fear today. Walking under an environment where they are afraid. They don't know. I don't know what will happen to me when I get to the office. Maybe they will sack me today. Or they will sack me this week. Or maybe they will not give me my entitlement. Or maybe I will even die before I collect my entitlement. I declare by the word of God into your life tonight, you will get your entitlement in the name of Jesus. Because your entitlement is in the hand of God. God will give it to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, there's what is called labor union. Labor union, what is it meant to do? Organize labor. So that you can collectively go and demand for your rights. Demand for your entitlement. So that you don't go on your own. But let me tell you, if you depend on labor union, you may not make it. If you depend on labor union, your future may not be guaranteed. I want to recommend something for everyone here tonight. Instead of joining labor union or depending on labor union, join favor union. I say join favor union. Join favor union. Because anyone that is joined to Christ has joined a favor union. John 10:10 says, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life. How? More abundantly. Life that is beyond now. Life that is beyond here. Life that is beyond. It is only in Jesus that you can have a guaranteed favor all the days of your life. But having said all this, if we will transit from unending labor to unlimited favor, I want to call our attention to three things before we pray. And we surrender everything to the Lord. If we are going to move from unending labor to unlimited favor that we have in Christ, three things. The first one is what I call assurance. There's an assurance for somebody here tonight. Assurance. Verse 7 of chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and which is the cross of our message tonight. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. The Lord said, hello, who is speaking to you? The Lord said, if you listen to the voice of the economy, you will not go anywhere. If you listen to the voice of the doctor, you will not go anywhere. If you listen to the voice of your boss in the office, you will not go anywhere. But what is the Lord saying to you? Here, the children of Israel, they heard what God said. the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. I have seen the oppression of my people. He's talking about the covenant people, the people of God. The first thing that can guarantee our moving from unending labor to unlimited favor is to be sure that we are part of the people of God. God said, I've seen the oppression of my people. Where? In Egypt. I'd like to announce to you this night that God knows your location. God knows your condition. He knows where you are. And he said, I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows. God is aware of your suffering. You know the hymn we sang, he said, Jesus knows some of our troubles. He knows all of our troubles. Even the trouble that you have not even told your husband that you are going through. The one you have not told your wife. The one that you have not told your children or you have not told your parents. Or you have not said to your pastor, Jesus knows, is aware of your trouble. And I love the way the Bible puts it, that he has seen, he has heard, and then he knows. Nothing hidden from God. God is aware of your suffering. God is aware of your challenges. You must have that assurance. There's an assurance for you that you are not alone, that you are not forgotten, that you are not rejected, that Jesus is aware of your suffering. Secondly, it's what I call intervention. There's an intervention for somebody here tonight. God knew the states that they were, that they couldn't help themselves. And that's why verse 8 says, apart from the fact that I'm aware of what they are going through, aware of their suffering, he said, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I have come down. I didn't have to send anybody. I have come down myself to deliver them. I love the way it is put in NLT, New Living Translation. Say, I have come down to rescue them. So, because somebody here tonight, God is on a rescue mission on your behalf. I have come to rescue them. Rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. It's only the power of God that can rescue a man. It's not religion that can rescue you. It's not your connection that can rescue you. It's not your family that will rescue you. It is only the power of God. And that's why I love the word power that is used in the New Living Translation. I have come to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. What you see in the book of Exodus is what I call the show of power. And let me tell you, in the world today, every day there is a show of power. But let me allow you to know that power past power. Is somebody hearing me tonight? Power past power. When you encounter the power of the Elohim, the power of Elohim, the power holding you down must give way. When you are power, encounter the power of the Most High God, the power that is holding you down must give way. Today, there will be power encounter for somebody. I said today there will be power encounter for somebody. It's not only that God is aware. It's not only that God has come to our rescue, not only about intervention, but I want to announce to somebody there is a release here tonight. God has not only assured us of his presence and his intervention, he has also come to release us into unlimited favor. He has come to release us into unlimited favor. Verse 8b. He said, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land. One translation says, a spacious land. To a land that is flowing with what? With milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. That's another thing. We don't have time to deal with about that tonight, because it's just to call our attention to the fact that God is bringing you to a particular land does not mean that everything will be rosy. There will be challenges. There will still be things to contend with. But because the Lord is on your side, you will always overcome them. You know, because of the children of Israel, God dispossessed these people of their land so that the people of God can really take their place. But that's not our focus tonight. But the focus is that there is a release. In spite of the labor, that looked endless in chapter 1, in chapter 2 that we have read, in chapter 5, there was a chapter, and that's chapter 12 in the book of Exodus. There is an exodus, or there was an exodus. I pray that there will be a mass exodus today. You're not hearing me? I pray that there will be a mass exodus today. That somebody will move from unending labor to unlimited favor. I tell you that the next chapter of your life will be better than the previous chapters. In the mighty name of Jesus. But let's look at this chapter 12 before we close and pray. Before we pray and close. I think we'll pray first before we close. Chapter 12, Exodus 12. I want to call our attention to a few things there. To see when God's power is at work, that nothing can stop God. Verse 12. Exodus chapter 12, from verse 31. You know, you remember before now, God already displayed his power to that stubborn Pharaoh. Very stubborn Pharaoh. That will not allow them to go. He will tell them, come tomorrow. What will he do? He will have changed his mind. Until God dealt with Pharaoh. And God displayed his power. And God showed him that power past power. And God dealt with him. Remember the plagues that came upon Egyptians. And God dealt with him. So when he got to verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 31. That same Pharaoh, what did he say? He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, what did he say? Rise, go out from among my people. That same Pharaoh that was stubborn, that was difficult, he called for Moses. He called for Aaron. He said, go, 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 go. Can I declare concerning somebody here tonight? Those who have refused you before now will begin to send for you. I said, those who have refused you before now, they'll begin to send for you. Because God will have dealt with them. God will have settled the issue before them. They didn't want to see you. In fact, when you go to their offices, they will say, no, I don't want to see him. From the gate, they will send you back. Pharaoh did not want to see Moses and Aaron. But when the power of God came down, he was the one. Say, go and call them. Come, 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 come. Say, go and call them. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord your God. He said, go, go, go with everything. Go out with your properties, go with your children, take your flocks, take everything. Those who have held you down before now, or those who have held on to what belongs to you, they will begin to release them from today in the name of Jesus. Everything that belongs to you that some people have held down, they held on to, because the power of God is coming upon your life, they will begin to release them. Something interesting happened in this verse 32. Look at that. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone. And then what? Bless me also. Can you hear that? I beg, bless me. What does that mean? Those who have been looking down on you, they will begin to look up to you to bless them. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Those who have been looking down on you, they will begin to look out for you so that you can bless them. Can you imagine? I can imagine, because of the gravity of what God had done in Egypt, that he would have knelt down and said, I beg, please bless me. Pharaoh will tell them, Moses and Aaron, please bless me before you go. Bless me. That is what the power of God can do. And the Egyptians, what did they say? They urged them that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. Don't let us die. I beg, go, 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 go. Take your things. We don't want anything. But let me jump, because of our time, to verse 36. And the Lord had given the people what? You are not following me. God had given the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what? They requested everything. They granted them all that they requested. That's what I call unlimited favor. Blank check. Just ask for anything. Anything. I beg, take. Go, go, go. We don't want anything again. They granted them everything that they requested. Because of the favor of God that is coming upon somebody's life here tonight. Because of the favor of God that is coming upon somebody here tonight. the Egyptians in your life, they will begin to grant you all that you request. They've denied you before now, but when you appear after today, when you show up, they will say, they'll be asking you, what do you want? Oga, what do you want? Is that enough? Should I add another one? I don't want to hold on to anything that belongs to you. That is what God can do. That is the power of God. God gave them favor. He granted them whatever they requested. Unlimited favor. Tonight, God's power is available to rescue someone from unending labor and bring us into unlimited favor. Anybody ready to move from unending labor to unlimited favor?
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.